Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A blank page holds infinite possibilities. It stirs our passions and is a space to become. Papier takes all the wonder and potential of a blank page and creates premium quality stationery, journals, notebooks, planners, and more. Each product is crafted with thoughtful details and gorgeous hand-drawn designs. Each page is as special as the thoughts you put in them. Best of all, their products can be personalized for free to be uniquely yours or to make an unforgettable gift for someone in your life. Papier's high-quality notebooks are a beautiful place to keep your notes, ideas, and memories. And with their undated planners, you can organize and track life at your own pace. Make each day noteworthy for yourself or someone you love with Papier. Visit papier.com for 10% off your first order. That's 10% off at papier.com.
Are you passionate about making a positive impact on a child's life? Then listen to this. Alpha Best Education, a national after-school program provider, is searching for site coordinators and group leaders in your area. At Alpha Best, enjoy career growth, no weekend work, part-time benefits, and deep tuition discounts for team members. Apply now with a quick 3-minute application. Just go to alphabest.org/careers. That's alphabest.org/careers. Make a difference. Join Alpha Best Education.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now,
It started.
Yeah.
But we have now. Because I used to do that thing as well when I go, hello and welcome to the episode.
Yes.
And I didn't know what
we're
to
here.
Say. After. Yeah. And I wouldn't know what to say. It just felt awkward.
Yeah.
But what I was going to start with saying is about your podcast.
Yeah.
Well, essentially, what's upset you now? I've been on it.
You were excellent on it.
Thank you, mate. That's all I'm going to say. Let's move on.
that's all I was looking for. Great. You can go home now, Paul. Imagine that. You just got me in here to go. Yeah, you were very good.
That's it for this weekend. So essentially, those who don't know, probably people do know, but it's you have a guest on,
yep,
and people moan for 15 minutes.
Exactly that.
Just think about things that piss them off.
Yeah, it's basically like Room 101.
Yeah, yeah.
But without the kind of...
But we're on a podcast.
Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah.
We do 2 episodes a week, one where it's just me and Sean.
Yeah.
And then one where we have a guest, and they're 15 minutes long, which has turned out to be a stroke of genius because people obviously listen to so many podcasts already.
What was the reasoning behind the 15 minutes to start with?
Laziness.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, honestly.
You've made it like it's a real art. Like,
yeah,
real,
no,
like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Really, I really thought about that.
Sean will tell you differently. But I think basically that was the reason. And so, yeah, they're 15 minutes long. So people who are already listening to sort of 4 or 5 podcasts go, I already listened to enough. Yeah. Oh, it's only 15 minutes. Perfect for a commute.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
school run or whatever, it's kind of...
Also, you've got the leave wanting more thing.
Exactly.
It's genius.
And then what's happened is we've started a Patreon because people are like, oh, we wish these were longer. And it's like, you want more?
There you go.
You've got to get your hand in your pocket.
It is actually genius. What I was going to say, moaning,
yeah.
You love moaning.
I do, yeah, I do. I sort of think, I used to think I liked moaning until I started doing it with Sean, and then I realised I'm not. I don't moan as much.
Oh, you don't moan as much. Was that the idea? You're two quite grumpy people, though.
Yeah, exactly. And we're good old friends. We've sort of known each other. We speak on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of, yeah. So he'd be just moaning about something that pissed him off, and then he said this should be a podcast.
Because it is a good. Because I think when you asked me to come on,
yeah,
I was like, fucking yes. Like, I can't wait.
You know what people, I mean? I know. Yeah. Everyone's always like, you go, oh, have you got three things? You've got three things. Yeah. You're going to need longer than 15 minutes, mate.
That's it. I could do it every day.
Yeah.
I think. Today.
There's a lot to be pissed off about.
You know my one today? This is quite sort of like London based, but yeah. You know, people know what the ULEZ charge is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ultra
low. Oh, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Well, go on. Sorry.
So I had to pay it this morning because I went somewhere yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And when you go and pay it, you have to go on the website to pay it.
Yeah.
Right? So they do this thing where they go, on the website, add to bag.
Yes.
Like you're like, and it's like
you're buying something off Amazon.
Yeah, like you're going to continue browsing. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, I might have some
people
congestion
like the
charge.
ULEZ charge. Also, like the like, congestion yeah. charge.
What else can I have? But then it comes to like 30 quid. 30 quid I had to pay this morning.
Well, I didn't know about it. I don't live in London, I live in Winchester. Yeah. And I had driven in to do a gig. And so two nights, I was at the Comedy Store, and I will quite often drive in if there's like a late show. So I drive back, free to park at the back of the Savoy.
Yeah.
Got the free parking in most major cities down to a fine art.
Now. Right.
And so I've done Thursday and a Friday there. And then just a couple of weeks later, just got a letter through saying 80 quid fine for this thing I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
I opened it up, it's like the ULEZ. I'm like, what the fuck? So I kind of... I contested it. I said, look, I'd never heard of this.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm so petty. I went to a tribunal. And this is the thing. Bearing in mind this is a sort of ecological drive and they're trying to save the planet. They sent out this pack where I said, oh, I'd never heard about it. They sent this pack out which was saying there was billboard adverts, this whole kind of like case of evidence.
Oh, going, like,
we were on radio, we were on TV. And I'm like, yes, fine. In London?
Yeah.
I don't live in London.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't on, you know, the local news down where I am.
Well,
there's no billboard.
Like, you must have seen it. No, I don't. I mean, what do you mean? Like,
so then the guy in the tribunal actually said, like, oh, I believe you, but still, this is not. There's no criteria saying that is a reason to not
fucking piss take. And even like yesterday when I had to pay it, I was driving
160 quid.
I had to drive through. I was so like, it was like a elephant and castle, which, you know, I'm not saying. It's not the greatest area. It's not like you're paying. You go, well, that was money well spent.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. That was a lovely moment driving through it. I got paid to drive through this. Like, it was like, I was like fuming about it. Do you know what I mean?
The worst thing that ever happened to me with like driving fines, I got three parking tickets for parking in a bay outside. Have I told you this before?
No.
Parking in a bay outside of my house that I've actually got a permit for.
Right.
I'd gone away for the weekend. I came back and there's three parking tickets in my window. I initially thought it was a mate has got some joke.
Yeah.
You get those joke parking tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's winding me up and I get close. No, really. Tickets. And what's obviously happened, when I've got out of the car for the last time, I've shut the door. The sort of wind caused by me doing this has made a pay and display ticket flip over and it's landed on the corner of the permit, which is on my sort of dashboard. It's blocked about. You can still see the details. It just blocked about an inch at the corner. You can still see the date registration. Yeah. Anyone reasonable would have gone, oh, that's a valid permit. People are not reasonable. They're arseholes.
Yeah.
I've obviously got a right job's worth coming along, going, oh, that's technically obscured. Ticket. 3 days, three tickets. 190 quid, right? I thought, I'm not having this. I'm appealing.
You're a big appealer.
I'll appeal.
I'll always appeal. I'll moan and just leave it.
I phoned up. I said, you listen here. I said, I've been given three parking tickets for parking in a bay outside of my house that I've actually got a permit. I said, this is disgusting. I want this wiped now. He said, Mr. McCaffrey. Calm down.
You're that guy.
Said, I must tell you quite clearly at the beginning of this call, as I say quite clearly on the terms and conditions of that permit, it needs to be clearly displayed at all times. You have failed to do this. The ticket stand. I said, it's 190 quid, mate. Can you just be reasonable? He said, listen, all of those tickets should have been charged at £70. The first one has only been charged at 50. I think you've actually done rather well there.
Lucky me.
I was like, oh, yeah, exactly. That's incredible. Stick me on the mailing list. I hate to miss out on any other special offers. What have you got on next month? 2-for-1 flight in fines for sticking rubbish in your own dustbin. He said, don't be sarcastic, Mr. McCaffrey. I said, all right, how's this? You're an idiot. You're a moron. He said, don't you speak to me like that. I said, well, I was going to call you a cunt, so I think you've actually done rather well there.
No, but what, so you get worked up, do you?
I will appeal.
Yeah, no, I won't.
If I think... I tell you what I am getting annoyed by. I keep forgetting to do the delay repay because I get the trains and this, but a couple of times recently when they've been 2 hours late. And if you're over like an hour and a half, you get the full...
Yeah.
money back, and I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
To sort of follow up, and you go, oh, bloody hell, that's annoying.
See, if it's like admin, I just got, it's like my worst nightmare. Like, if I've got like renew car insurance, I can't. It's like part of my brain.
Just jump it up.
But it's just, I just can't like be in hold.
Have you got Sky?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever? So someone goes, oh, because I'm like, I'm paying 65 quid, and they go, oh, you should just phone them and say you're not happy with how much you're charging.
Yeah.
So I phoned up and said, oh, you know, I've got Sky package, Sky Cinema Sports, whatever, and I'm not really happy with what I'm paying. And he's like, how much are you paying? And I said, 65. And he goes, 48. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, why don't you just charge me that in the first place?
Just picking numbers.
This is some sort of secret like thing where you can phone up and go, oh, I'm not happy with what I'm paying. And go, all right, well, how about this price then?
Yeah, right. Pick a number, yeah.
Yeah.
That is mental.
Yeah, so.
See, that's the thing. My brother borrowed my car recently. He did pay the ULEZ.
Right.
But I still got fined for it. So I've got to ring up. I have got to appeal that, and I... But I just can't be... It's like...
I had it once where I couldn't get on the website, so I screen grabbed it saying that there was a problem and then sent that over, and they did let that sort of go.
See, that's... Yeah.
The Dart... I've spoken about this on my podcast, but the Dart charge.
Ah, oh, that's a
bad you've got
one.
To remember to pay it.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not going to remember, am I?
Yeah, I did that recently as well.
Sort of, fuck it, it's a memory test that I failed.
I don't know when I'm going through it either. It's not like it's like a massive... You don't know it's happening, do you? It used to just be like a thing. Now it's just a road.
They should if you can't pay for it there and then, they shouldn't be allowed to charge for it. No. That's my feeling on it.
No.
Like the you know, at least the Severn Bridge. I didn't realise that. You know that was only there while they were paying off the cost of building the bridge.
Right.
So it's not you don't have to pay to go over it anymore. You've been to Cardiff recently?
No.
Yeah. Interesting fact about the charging on the
so educational. Podcast,
yeah, exactly. If you're not laughing, you're learning.
But what? So what did you say? Like, have you? Do you have to come up like every week and just think of something to moan about? Or is it just
it's not difficult.
Yeah, that's me. It's like...
You know, I've just come back from Dubai, for example, so something annoyed me over there. So I was queuing up and then queuing up to get food and the woman went, oh, sorry, I've just got a question. It's like, well, you've got a queue for questions.
Yeah.
What, just because...
Yeah.
Because it's not a food order, you think that you can cut the queue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's annoying.
I had a real thing when they first introduced like automatic banking and the supermarkets. I'm not going to use them. I'd prefer to deal with a person.
Yeah.
Which I still do in the bank.
Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, deal with a human being.
Yeah, and they sort of do that thing, didn't they? And when you ring up something and they'll sort of, it's quite a sort of passive aggressive. Just let you know, all the information is on the website. As if to go, I'm not going to go.
Yeah,
I'm just letting you know.
Do you know? Yes, I know. You can now do this. Yes, I know that.
I'm calling you.
But the thing, yeah, exactly. I'm calling you because you've done something wrong. And that's why you want me to go through the website, because you don't want to have to answer to someone.
All the information is on the website. Oh, it's fucking not. That's what I'm calling
you. The worst one is when you're on the phone and it's just sort of like you're holding and it's like, would you like, blah, 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 blah. And then you get sort of so far and then it goes, it kicks you out.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't get to where you need to go. I need to speak to someone because you are fucking me around. And I need someone to answer to this. And, you know, it's like, I want to get to the person and then I want to speak to the manager.
Yeah, you know, it's sort
of like, how many, it's like the big boss in a computer game. It's like, you've got to get.
This is what I was saying before about how much I love moaning. So I feel like we're really bonding, right? Yeah, I think that's like a British thing, isn't it? Like, you bond, not like, you don't talk about things you both enjoy.
No.
Talk about things you both hate or things you piss off.
Yeah.
Oh, I like, you know, when you know you've got on with someone, when you can take the piss out of someone with that person.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, someone's got some wanky trainers on or something. You look at me and go,
I'm such a huge nut, by the way. That really is.
And if you,
I could, I'll, I'm like, oh man, oh, this person seems all right. And then I look down and go, nah. It's not happening. Done up too tight.
Yeah. We were talking last week with Lloyd about Lonsdale slip-on trainers.
The karate
shoes.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, if you're like, when you work with someone, you have work clothes, like uniforms, so you don't really know what a person is like.
Yeah.
So let's go for a drink. You don't know. Then you see them in their real clothes.
Start
like mufti.
Yeah.
You're like, we can't be friends.
Start seeing a teacher out of school. Yeah. You're like, Jesus Christ. But in an Iron Maiden t-shirt.
Or it's like, right. Teachers used to do this thing on mufti day where they're like, I'll join in on this.
Yeah.
And they
come
in with some shit trainers on. Hey, I'm just like you guys. And no, you're not. You're not one of us. It's like politicians do it as well, don't they? They'll do like a. You'll get like a politician, they'll be like.
Tony Blair and his band.
Oh, yeah. Or they'll go to like a youth centre. and do a reggae dance. Watch me do a reggae dance.
Actually, sound like one of them. You know, they'll go out somewhere snazzy like a youth centre and do a bit of reggae dance.
That's exactly what they do, though. Do a limbo.
Yeah.
They'll like you if you do a limbo. They'll think you're one of them.
Yeah.
No, they won't.
It's impossible to dance. I like reggae. I'm quite a big reggae fan, but it is impossible to dance in public without looking like an absolute prick.
It's true. It is true.
It's a very difficult genre to dance.
I'll have to give it a go.
Yeah.
Right, we better get to the good stuff.
Okay.
Right.
So that was not the good stuff.
That was the...
Slightly insulted.
That was the...
okay, Paul, enough of this. Now let's get to some
good... I was saying this last night. Like, talking about stand-up. When you go on stage and then the MC comes on after you and has to warm the room back up.
Oh,
that happened to me last night. Do you know what I mean? You're like, that's insulting. I actually thought I'd done all right.
Like, I quite often say that, like, if I do a bit of crowd work where something funny happens, I go, anyway, enough fun, let's get back to my set.
It was that, though. Like, he kept going, I'll just bring you straight on. Everyone else, I'll bring you straight on. I finished. He had to go, well, I better readdress.
10 minutes in.
Let me sort this
just
mess out.
Get this back to an acceptable level.
That's exactly what happened last night. I felt terrible. Right. What's the worst thing that's happened to you on holiday?
Right, okay. I tell you what, so, I mean, I assume that you went on a few lads' holidays as a young man.
Yep.
I get really sort of emotional when I watch that In-Betweeners film to go like, that was a chapter of my life that will never happen again. So Tenerife was our first. Tenerife, Raff. Ten Bob Reef. That was,
It's come up on a podcast before, but I used to work there.
Did you? Where?
Tramps.
Oh, my God. What year was that? How old are you?
2007, I'm 34.
Okay, all right, you're a lot younger than me. Yes, I'm 48, so I was going there when... Soul Train, Linacres, Bobby's Busby's, it was...
So
five of us went, we flew from Bristol. Right. You know, it was one of those where it's like, it's a package holiday, that's about 15 quid. So you're like, we're flying out of Bristol at 4:30 in the morning on Tuesday. So we flew out. I wish... Video phones. I'm glad they didn't. So there was, we flew out. The people behind us were the same people on the way back. They were in the same resort. It was these four blokes from Bristol who I remember them all being called Simon, but they definitely weren't. But every anecdote they told started with, he's fucking pissed up. he's fucking pissed up. On the way back, none of them had eyebrows because at some point during the week, they'd all fallen asleep. One night, I don't know how this must have happened then, must have been a camcorder, but one of them had fallen asleep and they had got a dog to lick its bollocks. They had shown in the TV in the, like, resort bar. They came back, they were all bright red with, like, white lines there where their eyebrows had been. So it was me, four mates, we would have been 18. So I think this would have been about 1992. Went out. When we arrived, it was literally like the In-Betweeners.
Yeah.
So when we got to the resort, they got taken up to our room. There was a pissed up bloke asleep on the doorstep of our accommodation.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, when they go to that shit hotel.
Yeah,
like, good luck whoever's staying there, lads. It was like, this is cockroaches everywhere.
Because it is the classic, isn't it, when the coach is dropping everyone off.
Yeah. Like,
you're just waiting, going. But it actually gets to a point, I've been on holiday before, where it pulls up and goes, right, you lot. And everyone goes,
Wankers.
And you've got to get off and go, this is us.
So we went to there's no way around this. We went to a live sex show.
Right, okay.
We were out and then there was someone like, you want to go to the living room at 18? I was like, let's go see that. So we went to this live sex show. And how it was it was kind of like a little play where this guy was in hospital. And he's come round and has obviously never seen a naked woman before.
It's a proper theatre, isn't it?
Yeah. So the nurse comes in and he's sort of like looking at himself and looking at her like, why are you different? And then anyway, they end up boning.
Such an unnecessary narrative.
I know.
I love that you're walking around going, the arc of that was just...
Yeah, I mean, the acting was really quite something. I mean, the mood, the lighting... The production was sensational. It was sort of in the round as well. I mean, it really was like kind of the Globe, a grotty Globe. Anyway, so we saw this live sex show. He ends up sort of like having sex with the nurse. And a couple of days later, we saw the guy.
Oh, really?
Out and about. So you're just like, oh my god, she's 18. Just, yeah. Fuck it, that was the bloke for the live sex show. And you know, like in Spain, they're called Shaggy Jiggy Jiggy. This is
Jiggy Jiggy.
And he fucking started chasing us. He's sort of legging it through this complex and this sort of like guy, and I knew what he was packing as well. I'd seen this like sort of swarthy Spanish sort of sex god just fucking chasing us through the resort. And I had a red Ralph Lauren jumper that I had bought from the Harvey Nichols sale, which was like my new kind of jumper, which I had on. And we had to jump over this fence, and I got it caught on the thing, and it tore down my arm. Yeah, so that's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Why did he chase you though? I don't understand why.
Well, because we just thought, yeah, he probably didn't want his cover blown. He's out.
If you can't live the life of a live sex performer,
yeah,
I mean, you've taken on. You got to expect a bit of.
I suppose I don't know. Pretty thought he's a cheeky little shit.
Yeah. So was that about 92 then?
I think 1992. So you like? It was a long time ago. See,
were you like
31 years ago?
Because I would say,
I am old as shit.
I want to be your age.
Why? You think that was a good time?
'90s. I really think that. I was saying this to someone the other day. I think like that sort of '90s. You probably lived in the peak. You've been like a young adult in the peak of human existence. I really think that.
I think for my experience, I would have liked to have just been maybe 2 or 3 years older. I never got to go to the Hacienda. I would have loved to. There was just a couple of things. When clubs were, when, you know, sort of acid house, I was just that little bit too young to go.
Yeah.
Like, I remember once going, four of us went in a car to, was it called Gold? It was called Gold something. Can you look this up? In Swindon. Was it called Gold Diggers or? It was like a club.
Yeah.
So we drove down there, probably 91, and I didn't get let in. So my three mates went in, and I had to just basically sit out. I ended up palling up with another guy who had also not got in, and me and him just sort of walked around Swindon while everyone else went.
It just seems like one of them, like, you know, everything was like analog.
I think it was called Gold Diggers.
Do you know what I mean? Everything's like,
oh mate, it was a great time, you know.
Because you think like when it got to like, even when like, you know, you got like the Brit pop era and all that.
Yeah, 1995, I think that was the year.
That's what I mean. And there was that bit on that Oasis documentary they were talking about. That was the last. Before the internet.
Pre-phones,
yeah. That was the last.
It was amazing. I went to Nebworth and I went back. So I went in 95.
Yeah.
And then 96, sorry. And then I went back. Was it 95 or 96, Nebworth?
I'm going to say 96, but I don't know. Look it up as well, Lucas.
Yeah. It was Gold Diggers as well in Chippenham.
Gold Diggers, that was it, yeah. So we drove down there in the car.
Not you, mate.
I feel like it was 96 Nebworth. Whatever it was, I went to the original one, and then I went back when he did it last year solo, and it was like, oh, mate, it was not the same.
That's what I mean. You can't any of that stuff. Anything new that's happened at the moment.
Yeah.
Like the digital revolution. It's not as exciting, is it?
No, it's not.
It's good.
You used to buy tickets, so you'd buy like in the NME, which was used to buy. I'd buy. It used to come out every Wednesday, but. I'd moved up to London as soon as I could. I was so into music. Yeah. So I just, you know, grew up in Winchester. And as soon as I was old enough, I just moved to London to go out clubbing. And NME used to come out Wednesday, but at King's Cross Station, they'd always have it on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
And just like, you'd have the gig section in the back and then you'd be able to go and sort of buy coach. And I went over to see like Oasis in like Paris.
Did you know at the time it was a moment? It was a thing, or was it just your life and you were just doing it? Do you know what I mean? Because I often think this. I think my age I am now, I don't think I'll look back on my early 20s or think that, oh, that was the time.
I think,
do you know what I mean?
Other than maybe the late 60s, possibly a year when punk happened, I think I had the, yeah. Like 1995, I used to go to a place called, Turnmills, which it's not as shut down now, but the Heavenly Social used to be a night that was on there, which was run by Heavenly Records. So the Chemical Brothers used to be like the resident DJs. Yeah. And
that is amazing to me. I just find, like, when I talk about here, you know, going to like phone boxes and hearing where the rave is.
Oh, man, I did all of that. Going to Sainsbury's car parks and driving around looking for. And also where I live, because it's sort of countryside, so you'd have quite often illegal raves happening in the fields. We'd find them by accident. We'd be on the way home from the pub and there'd be a roadblock. And they'd be like, and you go, we live here. And you'd sort of
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So what happens now? It's nothing. It's boring, isn't it? Like, it's just,
I think that sort of stuff has come back a little bit, though, sort of illegal raids, but not like...
Not, it's not like... You know exactly what's happening because everyone fucking tells you on their social media. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Nothing's a secret nowadays, do you know what I mean? It's like... That is what the era I'd like to go to. You could go to any point in history.
Yeah.
I'd go back to a point where I was even alive, but just be a little bit older.
I'd like to have been at Woodstock.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have gone to the Stonehenge Free Festival before that stopped in 1985.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, lawless kind of. Yeah.
So that is the
But I got to do some house. Yeah, I definitely got some good shit in. Yeah, definitely.
Like, is there a memorable rave moment?
Well, they used to have a rave. And again, you can look this up. These things sound made up. So Basingstoke, there was a, I don't know what you would call it that, but it was a mental institution called Park Pruitt.
Right.
And they used to have raves in the sports hall there.
What, while it was still a functioning?
Yeah, so you'd be queuing out and the inmates would be walking around in their pyjamas. I am not making this up. Carl Cox would DJ there.
That's mental.
Google Evolution, Park Pruitt, Basingstoke. The first one I went to, the first rave I went to, which I think was 1991, was called the Big Banana Party. I can remember the flyer was like in the shape of a banana. And I think it was Colin Favour from Kiss FM DJing. And yeah, it was just like a sports hall. That was the sort of...
I do think, though, there'd be a problem. If he was off your face on ecstasy, you might get confused for a patient.
People were queuing up, coming up on pills, and there were people walking around in, like, dressing gowns, kind of, you know, making bird noises and stuff like this.
But there's things like, this one's escaped. No, mate, I just took a dove.
They end up in... Dennis the Menace.
They end up in there for, like, years.
Yeah. Have you found it?
Yeah, it was
91. 91, the Big Banana Party.
Yeah.
Have you got a flyer? Who was it? Was it Colin Favour?
I'm trying to find the flyer. It was...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It might have been Carl Cox, actually.
Groove Rider. Yeah, Carl Cox was there.
See that,
mate?
Heyday,
and that,
the three decked wizard.
Oi, oi.
That's what
I met him at bloody Gatwick a couple of weeks ago. the weird thing was, I'd been having a bit of a nostalgia sort of thing, so I'd sort of like I'd just been listening to kind of, you know, like, oh, I remember that was a thing back in the day. You know, it was tapes.
Yeah,
so you'd have like a tape that no one else had. Now they're all, you know, I can listen to pretty much every tape that anyone had when I was like 16, you can find now on like Mixcloud.
I know this, right? Because my dad was a bit of a raver.
Was he? How old's your dad?
My dad's, he's 60 this year.
Right, okay, yeah.
And he had a tape.
Yeah.
I remember having a tape, do you know what I mean? And I borrowed the tape, but like, it was like retro when I had it. You know what I mean? Like, proper old.
Get properly, like it was, there was power
to it. Yeah, there was the tape. Yeah. The unknown DJ.
You can have a copy, but don't give a copy to anyone else. That was the thing. And it's like, all right, I'll give you a copy of that if you let me in. It was kind of, and then it would slowly, and then the copies would get worse and worse, and someone would have this sort of like.
It was that or porn videos. Who's got that video? Who's got the video? And it's like, I got it. And someone would pretend and just go missing.
I miss that. There was a real, you know, just that whole kind of thing of like having to find out what tunes were. Yeah. So you'd hear a tune on a tape.
Yeah.
And then that tune. And then you'd eventually find out what it was and buy it and kind of, you know, I used to come up to London and go to sort of places like Black Market Records and sort of Chockey's Tunes and all these sort of things, and you go like, oh my god, I found out what that record is, and then I've found it, and then you go, you know,
and I think that's it, and I think that's why, as I was saying, like when I look back on, like, you know, I was going out in 2005.
Yeah,
it was rubbish. It's not like I don't look back and I go, oh, because whenever you spill.
But I didn't get to go to the, you know, sort of like, so my kind of experience of that was going to these kind of like, you know, so I went to a lot of outdoor things like tribal gathering and, you know, where it'd be like four big tops and kind of, you know, and I went to a lot of illegal raves. That was sort of, I went to a lot of that. So there'd be like the New Age Travellers. Do you remember that kind of thing? So it was like the Peace Convoy. So they all lived in like buses and, you know, dreadlocks and kind of. And they would do these free festivals. Every week they'd move somewhere else and they'd have like a rave tent. And so I went to a lot of those sort of things and I went to a lot of like raves and kind of sports centres. But was just that little bit too young to get into the good clubs. Yeah. I mean, I was 16 in 1990 and looked 12.
Right, yeah, yeah. But I still know you're still there. You know.
Oh yeah,
you know what it was about. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. I got to go to some. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's class. Right. Next question.
Okay.
Have you ever shit yourself?
Now, I think this is. Has anyone not shat themselves? I think the question should be: are you prepared to talk about a time when you shat yourself? Is there anyone at this stage that has? I mean, Lucas, have you ever shat yourself?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Have you ever shat yourself?
Yes, and that's the point of this question.
There are only people that have shat themselves. The distinction is there are who are prepared to talk about when they shat themselves.
Should I rephrase it then?
No. I don't want to tell you how to run your podcast, mate. But I mean, I've shat myself numerous times. But I did once shit myself in Tenerife.
Oh, again, there you go.
Just to bring it back to Tenerife. Yeah. So
that's the arc.
This was my second. I went there two consecutive years. The second time I went back,
I was getting chased by a live sex show.
That red Ralph Lauren jumper is now a shade of autumn brown. But no, we went out one morning after a particularly heavy night, and we were walking down, and it was me, my mates Troy and Belly, and we were sort of walking to go down to the beach for the day, and It was just one of those. It wasn't even like, have I? I just kind of like walking down, just sort of let out what I thought was just a harmless and filled my swimming trunks. And then I was like, I need to get... It wasn't even like I had boxer shorts and jeans on. This is like, I am right there. Do you know what I mean? This is... So I just turned... I just stopped as I was walking and turned around. I used to run a bar, actually. This was at that time. So this must have been... I was working in a bar anyway. And so as we were walking down, I just stopped, about turned and started walking up and like, where are you going? I said, I'd send a postcard to the people at work and I've forgotten the address. And they're like, what? I should have just turned around and gone, guys, I've shat myself. I need to get back quickly. But I was just like, I said I'd send a postcard and I forgot to bring it.
Where your brain goes to at that moment.
And then just sort of waddling up the hill, clenching my buttocks, just desperately trying. I mean, as soon as that registers, I think I managed. Luckily, we hadn't gone too far from where we were staying. There was these guys from Leeds on that holiday that were staying in the room next to us.
Did they have eyebrows?
Tony and Raoul. They were... Every morning, I'd look forward to going out on a balcony to just hear what had happened.
Yeah.
Every night, they're going, oh, we've got our... So they'd always end their anecdotes with, it's a fucking great night. But everything that had happened up until the point they said that was utterly horrific. So I got thrown out of a club, got beaten up, lost my wallet. What a night. What a night. Just like, you know, I'd be looking for flights home if I'd have had half of what had happened on their first night. But they're just like, oh, mate.
But you know one of them ones where it was like chaos. It was quite sensible, your lot then, was it? Like...
Compared to them,
yeah.
No. We weren't.
I do love the chaos, though.
Actually, that time, so it was a very much a holiday of two halves. One of us, he'd just split up with his girlfriend and was heartbroken.
Right.
And then me and my other mate were just up for a laugh. So it was just kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, no. Hold on a second. I'd just split up with my girlfriend. He was in the new throes of love. And so we're just constantly like, oh, what am I going to get a present to take home? I'm like wanting to just go out and drink away this kind of breakup. So it became three's an odd number to go on holiday with. Do you know, like,
it is.
A two and one?
Yeah, and usually there's one person who gets a bit left out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like, there's.
But by his own, he's just like, oh, no, I'm just going to have an early night. You know?
Yeah.
I think he'd probably booked the holiday before he got into the relationship and then didn't really want to be there, do you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's still a good mate to this day. I'm sorry, I should apologise. I do this slurping and taking a breath. Have you noticed it at all?
I haven't noticed it.
Have you? No. Because on my podcast, our patrons, well, one of our patrons kindly pointed it out and then the floodgates opened. So I mentioned it on the podcast. And some people are like, it doesn't annoy me. Some people are like, yeah.
Well, I was saying before when Tom's telling the story, I go, yeah. And anticipation. It's horrible listening back to yourself.
Like a dog who's about to get fed.
That's exactly it. It's horrible. I have to edit this thing. I'm like, I hate listening to it. But the first time
we went, there was five of us, and it was just like it was. I'd never flown before. You know, I'd never. It was like this is a real kind of rites of passage. Like, oh my God, we're abroad. This is like amazing. And then the second time, it just wasn't quite as.
The last stag do I went on, it was like, because when, oh, do you know, I mean, there's the bad group on the plane, the stag do, like, fucking hell, that is a bit, we were them.
Oh, right,
yeah. But I'm not like that. I get quite sort of like, I don't really like walking around in big groups.
Yes.
I get a bit like, oh, this is, but it was to the point where they was warning they were going to have to land the plane. And it was like, this is getting...
It's horrible being on the plane. When I don't know if I've ever been that group. I mean, I've been on quite a few overseas stag do's. I mean, a couple where I've come back, like, literally depressed. Kind of like, oh, man, I don't want to ever...
Yeah. Well, I went on the stag do.
Where would you sort of go? Marbella?
Usually Ibiza. Yeah. Usually Ibiza, but Magaluf was the worst one. But I remember getting back from that with this horrible... It was not, well, I had kids at the dust. Like, I was still... A dad at the time, you know what I mean, it was like, sorry, I did it pre-settling down and post-settling down. It was still as much carnage, you know what I mean?
I've not been on one for a long, long time. And overseas, well, actually, I've been one, but like, yeah, kind of, I've not been on one.
Yeah, but I remember getting back and I had to go and pick the kids up from school, like the I think it was the day I landed. And I remember just being in a kid's playground thinking, I shouldn't be around children. There's like, this is like...
Is it just like, so I mean, with booze or was it kind of just, like other
stuff?
Yeah,
everything. Oh, everything. Yeah. And it was just like, this is...
Flight. That is hell, isn't it?
Yeah. It was just so grim.
Yeah.
Really horrible. Like, we spoke about it before on the podcast, but I was with my brother. We lost my brother.
Right.
We weren't allowed on the flight back home. So we had that anxiety.
We went to the wrong airport once in Budapest. Have you ever been to Budapest?
No, I've never been to Budapest.
Everyone talks about how amazing it is. I think we didn't see the good bit. I think we just sort of like, I mean, it was not... My experience of Budapest is like, that is not a nice place.
Yeah.
We were staying in like accommodation above what we nicknamed the hospital bar because everyone in there was missing a limb. It was just like, you know, this place is... And they were all drinking this sort of weird thing that was like a pint, which was kind of made up of some sort of wine. You know,
it's
like,
I know that feeling. We're not in the right place.
Yeah.
This is what people said it would be.
Yeah. Sometimes you just go somewhere and go like, I wish I'd read.
Well, you don't do the holiday properly. I feel like,
oh, man, that was the thing. So the first night we got to Budapest, we went right through. So we got there Friday, stayed up all night. So Saturday we're out. A couple of us did. Some people had gone to bed. I'm an idiot. Yeah. I don't drink anymore because I can't start. Can't stop once I start. So like, but I'd been up all night, maybe with one other person. And we went to this pub, and you know, like, we'd sort of split up. And my friend had obviously gone to the toilet, and I passed out in this bar. She fell asleep at the table, and then woke up not knowing where I was.
Oh.
And I was living in Brighton at the time, so I just went up to the bar and said, "Oh, can you order me a taxi to Brunswick Street East?" And the bloke behind the bar was like, blah, 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 blah. "This guy's problem." So I sort of asked someone else, "Excuse me, mate, I'm trying to get a taxi to Brunswick Street East." And then all of a sudden, it's sort of like, "Oh no, you're hungry." Yeah, that was bad.
That is, because I did Amsterdam a few years ago as well, and I'm not much of a weed smoker.
Right,
it's not really my thing. But I thought, you know. When in Rome, when in Amsterdam, but sort of sitting around. And I just ended up getting like really pissed because that's my thing that I like to do. Everyone's sitting around in like coffee shops and I'm just like, I remember saying, I'm not even chilled out, I'm just bored.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like everyone's sitting around just going...
Amsterdam is a wicked place.
It's wicked.
Yeah,
it is wicked.
Like, it's good. But yeah, it does sort of feel like whenever you go there, you're like, oh, I should while I'm, you know.
Yeah. And it is that, and it is that, you know, when you go down the it's just like the red light district, you're like, this is this real? This is mental.
Particularly if you have been partaking in the,
Yeah, but that's a bit when you see people, shady people going in and out. You're like, it's just that I couldn't stop walking past. I was just like intrigued by the whole.
It feels wrong. Though, it does, looking, doesn't it?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're like, are you okay with this?
It's just, but yeah, it's a. I've had some funny trips over there as well. Yeah. A friend of mine used to work for Nike, and their European headquarters is in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So she got to stay with him while he was working out there, which was just amazing. So like going. I went to the best party I've ever been to in Amsterdam in a TV studio just on the outskirts. It was absolutely unreal.
Yeah. So I don't think I did it properly. I think I was overwhelmed when I first met. I've only been once.
Yeah.
It is like overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great. I've been there a lot, actually.
I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
I think I am.
We used to go, but me and a group of mates used to go and see like a band once a year in a European city. So we've been Berlin a few times, Amsterdam, Barcelona. We'd like go and usually be either Noel or Liam Gallagher. Or kind of, yeah, so you'd like just fly over somewhere, make a weekend of it.
Oh, wicked.
It's good. Yeah. I tell you what, I've always sort of, with that, I've done it quite a lot over the years because you get to see bands that you like that you'd normally see in arenas over here. You can go and see them in like a 2,000 seat.
Yeah.
And actually, once you've factored everything in, you go like, it probably doesn't actually cost that much more to fly to.
Nah.
You know, if you're going to go to Manchester for the weekend, for example, you're going to have to pay for the train fare, you're going to have to pay for the hotel. You'd just as well fly to Barcelona and go somewhere amazing.
The city break is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we saw Liam Gallagher in Barcelona. That was the last one we did, actually. And then I was walking down the street, saw Bonehead walking down. And
So you've knocked the drinking on the head?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Touch the drink?
I haven't had a drink for over 2 years now, yeah.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, because I'm similar like that.
Yeah.
Start constant. Yeah,
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
It is bad.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's good, but that's the holidays that do me, though. I was saying to myself, I went for like 6 months without drinking.
Oh, did you?
I felt really good, but then you put them little things in your head, go, what am I going to do when I go on holiday?
Yeah, well, that's the last time, because I've done it a couple of times where I stopped, and then the last time I actually went to New York, and I was like, I'm going to just drink while I'm in New York and stop when I get back in. Yeah. And then came back and it's like, yeah, but.
I know. I do know the feeling, though. Right, what was the other one we're going to do? What's the worst thing you've done for money?
Now, I had a job working for, it was a summer, and just saw in the job centre an advert for someone to do sales for a pest control company, and it was a 2-month contract. And so I was like, I'd done quite a lot of sales, actually, like double glazing sales and kind of worked in a lot of call centres. So anyway, so I phoned this guy up, went out and got this job working for Kestrel Pest Control, which I got a van.
Right.
Got the pest control. Purple pest control.
How do you sell pest control?
Well, here's the thing.
You need a pest first.
So
supply and demand, create demand.
Well, what my role was to sell bird proofing, which was basically going around towns in the South Coast. So every day I'd go to a different town and basically look for buildings that had bird shit on them.
Just one of them jobs, though. Like, the ladies love that.
Yeah. Turning off in a different town in my fucking Kestrel pest control van. Oh, ladies.
There's that bird-proofing guy.
So basically, I just basically go to a town and walk around looking for buildings which had shit on them. And then go in and say, I notice you've got a lot of bird shit on your building.
This guy's good.
I tell you what, you say this guy's good. I got so much work that they fucking got rid of me after 2 weeks. They said, we've got more work than we can keep up with. So then I had to, then they said, oh, look, it was a 2-month contract. So they said, what you can do, we've got, like, you've done such a good job. I mean, this sounds like I'm bragging here. I was literally driving around looking for buildings with bird shit on them. So it's not like, I found so many shitty buildings that after 2 weeks, they said, they don't need me anymore.
No, it's been a slow week. I'm not really seen much bird shit.
But they said, oh, if you want to, we'll keep you on and you could just go out and help the guys doing the pest control. Yeah. And the first job we had was a cockroach infestation in Southampton, right? In this place. Now, I'm a Southampton fan, and it was on Bedford Place, which is right near where the old Dell used to be.
Right.
So it was like where you'd drink before the games, where you'd eat all the chippies and stuff. So I'm going in this place, and I'm like, fucking, I've probably eaten in here before. And when I say a cockroach infestation, we went in the kitchen, and there was like sort of, I mean, it was just, the place was an absolute dump.
Yeah.
And it had like plywood. And when you pulled it back, it was like something out of Indiana Jones. The wall was just moving with cockroach. Like it was just.
And where was this? In a
in like a calf.
Like a calf?
Yeah. Oh,
it, a function, it was...
It was working, it was open.
Oh, God.
And then they basically... so we went in. The guy who owned it ended up getting struck down with angina because of the stress of this. Like, he got shut down. The health authority shut him down. And we had to go in to get rid of it, to get it back up to an acceptable level where it would reopen. That was just the tip of the iceberg. Then up in the flat upstairs, there was basically... it's horrible to talk about, but there was like... Basically, there was a guy living upstairs... There was blood on the cup. So we went in. Yeah. This guy had been shitting in the bath. It was just full of, like, empty vodka bottles. I mean, I feel mean talking about it, because it was just like, it was not what you should have above a calf.
You should have it anywhere, really.
He said there was blood on the carpet. So we had to go up with the owner of the cafe, who I won't name. I can't, but I mean, this was 1997. There's no way he's still alive, but still, I don't want to speak ill of the dead. Yeah. But so we went in, and there was like a big blood patch on the carpet. He goes, "Oh yeah, the last tenant basically used to have these sex parties up here."
One of them
got out of hand, and he got killed. He goes, we've had a spot of bad luck with our tenant. I'm like, that's the first time I've heard a murder referred to as a spot of bad luck. Yeah, so that was one. That was one
sod's law.
When we walked into the flat, the smell of it made I was sick. Like, I just walked in, went that's had. I was just like, man, I can't. This isn't for me. So yeah,
you're quite a germaphobe as well, aren't you?
Oh, massive germaphobe.
Was it before that? Do you reckon that's what caused it?
I think. I mean, I don't really go too far into the psychology, but I think my mum is a massive germaphobe, and I inherited it from her.
All right. But well, I'm saying, like, how could you do that job?
Yeah. Like, well, no, I couldn't, as it turns out. Yeah, yeah. I went home and, like, quite stripped off, like, on the doorstep of my house. I'm not taking any of these clothes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge germaphobe.
Yeah, like Howard Hughes.
That's what my mum used to call me.
Is it Howard Hughes?
Yeah.
So, wait, that was it then? You said, I'm not doing this job.
I didn't used to, like, touch light switches and stuff like that. I just got to do it on my elbow.
I get that. And I get the... I like them toilet doors now. I've got the foot... thing. Is it in that?
No.
You can open.
Oh, mate, I can't. Like, I can't. Handle. In this day and age, having after you've been to the toilet and washed your hands, any doors that you have to then pull open, it's like, I don't. What? I've just washed my hands and I'm now touching the dirtiest thing that I am likely to touch. Yeah. You know.
But I saw it in a pub toilet. I thought it was genius. You literally like a handle. Yeah. At the bottom. Open it with your
incredible.
Foot.
When did you see that?
Just in a pub. Can't remember. But I had to use facilities in a pub last night.
Did you? Yeah.
I went to a gig and it was like...
It's grim, isn't it? If I ever get caught short out in town, I'll always look for a fancy hotel.
Yeah, well, because London, it's like hard, isn't it? It's hard to... What do you do?
What do you do?
Do you know what I mean? I was thinking, like inventions, right? Some sort of tablet that makes you, like, not need a shit. It can just sort of dissolve, or you sweat it out or something. Because when you get caught out in them... situations, so like every toilet is like the train spotting toilet. Do you know what I mean? It's like it feels like that,
man. Yeah, no, Glastonbury toilets. Someone was talking about something the other day that made them not go to the toilet for like days on end. I was like, well, you surely eat that before you go to Glastonbury.
Yeah, well, I had it recently where I overdosed on Imodium.
Did you?
So I've gone, it's
gone the other way.
It's gone the other way.
Really?
Because the thing is, though, when you must have felt like you're standing on stage.
Yeah.
If you're worried about shitting yourself in a normal situation, it's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
You've got 50 people looking at you.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
That's never happened to me. I always find if I ever need to go to the toilet before I go on stage, as soon as I get on stage, that disappears. Like, I don't know if it's the adrenaline or whatever, but.
Yeah, so that was so intense.
Yeah. Oh man.
Right, I think we'll wrap it up anyway.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Good
to have you on.
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
But make sure everyone listens to
What's Upset You Now?
What's
Where
upset
am I going
you now?
Down there?
Yeah.
What's Upset You Now? The good stuff is the Patreon, so
yeah, there you go. And I was on it, listen to my episode.
His episode is excellent.
There you go. So you just got that twice now. You said that. So
that's the clip, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Right. Thanks
for having me. Nice one.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.